to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans, and how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, sponsored by BetUS. I am your host, Tom Ernesty. It was Victory Monday after a triumphant win against the New England Patriots in Foxborough, 17-16, giving the Dolphins a 1-0 record to start the season. And that was a big win in itself because the other teams, obviously the Patriots taking a loss, but the Bills losing to Pittsburgh and the Jets losing to the Carolina Panthers leaves the Dolphins alone right now in the AFC East after 1 week as the lone team with the victory. Let's get into the conversation about the game on Sunday with the New England Patriots, and I just want to dive into how impressive the victory was for the Miami Dolphins. Now, I'm not talking strictly about Tua Tagovailoa. I'm not talking strictly about, you know, Jalen Waddle or really anything along those lines. What I am talking about is the team win that happened against the Patriots in Foxborough and how impressive it truly was. Here's a little bit of stats that you may not know. How impressive the victory was. That was the second time the Miami Dolphins have won a game in Foxborough since the Wildcat game in 2008. When they beat the Patriots in week three of the season in 2008 to really open things up for that team that year. We know the 2019 win on the final few seconds of a Mike Gesicki touchdown from Ryan Fitzpatrick to seal the season-closing victory, as well as the chapter of the New England Patriots and Tom Brady with that huge comeback win late in the fourth quarter. And, of course, Sunday's game against the Patriots marked only the second time since that 08 game. So the Patriots themselves are 139-25 going into the game on Sunday. In Foxborough since 2002. I'll say that again. The Patriots are 139-25. Now that's home cooking, folks. It doesn't get any better than that from a perspective of a team playing at their own stadium. The Patriots have absolutely manhandled teams on their home turf. In the 2020 opponents, yes, there's no fans in the stands and things like that, but the Patriots still went 5-3 in a down year at Foxborough. And let's talk about the quarterback play from those guys in Foxborough. We know about Ryan Fitzpatrick in week one, so we won't dive too much into that. Let's talk about the other quarterbacks. Derek Carr took the Raiders into Foxborough in 2020, lost 36-20. Derek Carr was 24-32 for 261 yards and two touchdowns. Not a bad stat line for a quarterback in Foxborough. Took a loss by two scores. Drew Lock was 10 of 24 for 189 yards and two interceptions, but the Broncos won that game 18-12. Jimmy G followed that up with a 20 of 25 showing for 277 yards and two touchdowns. The 49ers won that game 33-6. So this is where it got interesting for the most part. These two games right here, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens lost 23-17. Lamar was 24-34. 249 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. Kyler Murray followed up the following week, 23-34, 170 yards, and an interception, and the Cardinals lost 20-17. Josh Allen followed up late in the season, 27-36, 320 yards, four touchdowns, and an absolute blowout win. And then Sam Darnold finished the year off for the Jets, 23-34, 266, one touchdown, two interceptions. So now why did I focus on the quarterback play itself? Well, because now it's time to talk a little bit about Tua. Overall, I thought he played well. for the most part. Yes, he did have some mistakes, and those things can be corrected. Obviously, watching film, understanding the scenarios, especially that 3rd and 7 after the Solomon Kinley illegal man down the field penalty that pushed him back from a 1st down to a 3rd and 7, and then Tua was blitzed, and he had to throw that ball away. But, again, played well. 16 to 27, 202 yards, averaged 7.5 yards per attempt. He had a touchdown, interception, QBR rated at 39.9, and the quarterback rating 79.6. Is that good based on statistics? No, but I thought he did play well. And the reason that he played well is the environment that he played in. And I'm not going to talk about playing in front of fans. It's playing in Foxborough. Playing in that stadium has been difficult for many teams. And at the end of the day, he ended up pulling it off. Before we move on to Brian Flores' press conference, I do want to give my tip of the cap to the defense. I thought, overall, they played a very strong, sound game. Did they give up yards? Yes, they did. But the motto is, and as Mike and I talked about on the post-game wrap-up show, bend but do not break. And that was the motto for the defense against the New England Patriots. They gave up nearly 400 yards of offense, but only one touchdown and 3 field goals. I think that, you know, again, first week of the season, playing on the road in a very tough place to play, they did it all. Did they come up with timely turnovers? Yes, they did. Already starting the season off with 2 forced fumbles, and the biggest one was the Damian Harris fumble near the 10-yard line. I mean, there was just over 3 minutes left of the game, and the Patriots are driving in to score a touchdown, let alone kick a field goal, which gives them the lead, and Xavier Howard found a way to punch that ball out. And the Dolphins recover and seal the game. You know, that was just a gritty effort from the defense where they were on the field for 36 minutes. But they got it done. They picked up the slack from the offense, which, you know, had their struggles. They had their successes. Like I said earlier, you know, I thought Tua played a good game. He pushed the ball down the field. He had some big throws that really catapulted those 2 scoring drives at the beginning of the game and the beginning of the second half. But it was the defense that led the way for the most part, and it was a very good performance overall from that unit. It is that time of the show where we have to talk about our friends at Manscaped. Our friends at Manscaped are the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, and they want to make sure that you use the right tools for the job. And that's why everyone should choose Manscaped when it comes for all of their grooming needs. Everyone go to manscaped.com. Again, that's manscaped.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk to save 20% on your order and get free shipping. Try out such great products as the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker, the Shed Travel Bag, the Crop Reviver, and the Crop Preserver. 2 million men worldwide trust them, so join the Manscaped movement with our exclusive offer by using the promo code DolphinsTalk for 20% off and free shipping. Now we get into the Brian Flores press conference and the day after press conference where, you know, Brian Flores, typically, you know, I enjoy covering and looking at his press conferences the day after a game. And here are some of the highlights, and I'll touch base on a couple of the topics here. First and foremost, and I think this is the big headline here, Liam Eichenberg started in place of Austin Jackson, who was just elevated from the COVID-19 reserve list, and he was active to play in the game against the Patriots on Sunday. However, he did not see the field. Liam Eichenberg took his spot, and he played well. I thought he did an admirable job, and arguably he was the best offensive lineman on the field for the Dolphins on Sunday. Now, that's not saying a lot because the offensive line left a lot to be desired for the first game of the season, but again, it's week 1. there's still a long way to go, and these guys need to gel, and they need to get better as the season progresses. But Brian Flores was asked about Liam Eichenberg and if Austin Jackson is still the team's starting left tackle. His response, and I'm not going to quote it, but the highlight is Austin Jackson is and will retain the left tackle spot. But what does that mean overall for Liam Eichenberg? Well, here's some stats for you that was brought to you by the smart guy on social media. Had a very good post in regards to percent of dropbacks with some responsibility for pressures. And it reads like this. Left tackle, Liam Eichenberg spot, 16.7%. Left guard, Solomon Kinley, 16.7%. Again, these are percent of dropbacks with some responsibility for the pressures. Center, Michael Dieter, 33.3%. Right guard, Robert Hunt, 16.7%. Right tackle, Jesse Davis, 50%. 50. So not a great job from our veterans and Dieter and Jesse Davis. However, I thought Liam Eichenberg, Solomon Kinley, and Robert Hunt, obviously two of those guys, second-year players and a rookie at left tackle, they played really well. For the most part, I thought they played really well. As a unit, again, a lot to be desired. Have to get a little bit better. It's week one. You know, the season is a long one. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. But where does this leave Liam Eichenberg if Austin Jackson is going back to left tackle? Well, obviously the other spot is right tackle. I think you could put Liam Eichenberg out there. I think you can trust him to protect Tua's blind side, potentially. I know that he's worked at left guard. He's actually done some center work. He's played at left tackle. Can he play at right tackle? Can he protect the blind side for Tua? Well, I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out. Is it a changing of the guard yet? I don't think so, but it's something definitely to keep your eye on. You know, the offensive line, there's going to be a lot of moving pieces throughout the year. And we do know Coach Flores doesn't mind playing young players in big spots. So I don't think the door is shut on Liam Eichenberg. And we'll see leading up to the week if they do make a change at right tackle. But Brian Flores pretty much put it to bed that Austin Jackson is back at left tackle against the Buffalo Bills. He was asked about Raekwon Davis and his injury. I thought Raekwon Davis was back in the game because they did announce in the third quarter, or I believe fourth quarter, that there was a penalty and it was on Raekwon Davis. But that may not be the case. It might have been on Zach Sealer, might have been on somebody else. But Raekwon Davis did not re-enter the game and he was held out due to his injury. And they are still doing tests. And we won't know the severity of whatever happened, but we did see Raekwon Davis. He was on the sideline. It was reported that he was doing some bull rushes. He was getting prepared to go back in, and he had his helmet on. But they kept him out, obviously as precaution. Again, it's a long season. You don't want to rush a guy out back out there with any potential sprain to a ligament that could turn into a tear, which leads to season-ending injury. So we'll see where it goes with Raekwon Davis. I hope he's going to be fine. I hope we see him against the Bills. Obviously, the run defense kind of lost a little bit when he went out of the game, but hopefully he will be good to go for the Bills. He was asked about Will Fuller. As we know, he was suspended for the first game of the season to fulfill his four-game suspension from last season with Houston. This was the final piece to that, and now he is available to play. Brian Flores mentioned that he hasn't practiced much. They, you know, whatever lingering issue there might have been in regards of injury, but he did not practice a ton, and we didn't see him in any really preseason action. So he is going to be available to play against the Buffalo Bills. How much he plays, we'll find out. I think, you know, Brian Flores did hint that he may use him sparingly. And I'll read you the quote. Said, we didn't have Will last week. He missed some time in training camp. We really only had him for, I would say, a handful of practices. We'll work him in and see how to best utilize him in the offense and see how things go during practice this week. I think we got a lot of guys in that room, and we'll see how practice goes this week and take it from there. So that leads me to think that he will be on sort of a pitch count. I don't think he'll see the field as much as Devontae Parker or Jalen Waddle, but I think Will Fuller will get some game action. How much he'll get is going to be up to the coaching staff, but to me, Brian Flores hinted that he might be on a potential snap count against the Bills just because he hasn't had too much action in the offseason. The other thing, too, it was a hot topic with the Miami Dolphins fan base over the course of summer, was the co-offensive coordinators, and Brian Flores thought, overall, they did a good job. His quote was exactly this: "I thought we moved the ball effectively on some drives and others we didn't. I think they've got a good defense. They played well. They made some plays. We made some plays. They won some matchups. We won some matchups. It was a tough ball game in a tough environment. I thought our operation was clean as far as dealing with crowd noise, getting in and out of the huddle, and things of that nature. Eric and George did a nice job getting the guys prepared and putting guys in position to make some plays." So not, you know, don't read between the lines here. It's not like, you know, Brian Flores is disparaging the guys. Obviously, the offense needs to be better. And we could potentially see that coming up here against the Bills. The Bills have a good defense. They have some really good pass rushers. That's a very young unit. They're quick. Their linebacking unit's quick. They have a good secondary. They have solid safeties, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde. So this is going to be a very tough matchup, and George Gotsi and Eric Studsville really need to put a really good game plan in place to be effective against the Buffalo Bills. And the best way to be effective against the Bills is to keep the offense off the field, chew some clock, put points on the board, and score your touchdowns, because you can't win a field goal game against Josh Allen based on history, right? Josh Allen puts up a ton of points against this Dolphins team, and the Dolphins need to be better prepared for this game. So I just mentioned the Buffalo Bills. It is Bills week. It is week two. It is a mirror of the 2020 season, opening in New England and then opening at home against the Buffalo Bills. This is a huge game, and I mentioned this on the post-game wrap-up show. I think this is a very big game early in the season, because starting 2-0 and putting your division rival essentially at a 2.5 game difference through the first 2 weeks is huge. And the Dolphins, obviously, the Dolphins know this. This is a revenge game. Why is it a revenge game? Well, we all know what happened in week 17 last year to get into the playoffs. Absolutely trounced in Buffalo. There's no other way to put it. You can't sugarcoat that. They got the doors beat off them. This is revenge week. This is a huge game, and the Dolphins need to be prepared, and they need to come out swinging against the Buffalo Bills. And we're going to have all that for you this week here at DolphinsTalk.com. So be sure you go to DolphinsTalk.com each and every day for all the latest Miami Dolphins news and information leading you up to kickoff against the Buffalo Bills. And speaking of talking about the Buffalo Bills, myself, not myself, I will be joining Greg Thompson and Aaron Quinn from Cover One, which is a great site and a great podcast that covers the Buffalo Bills in depth. I will be joining them to talk Miami Dolphins and Buffalo Bills on Wednesday night, so look for tweets for that, as I look forward to joining those guys. Always a good time when I get to talk with them. That'll do it for the Monday wrap-up show. I hope everybody has a great Monday evening and Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.